Will you turn with me in God's word to Luke chapter 18? Luke chapter 18. And I want to read from verse 1 through to verse 17. Luke chapter 18, reading from verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. And Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, shall no wise enter therein. Amen. Just for a few moments this evening, I want us just to turn to this 18th chapter of Luke, to draw some very brief lessons and directions concerning prayer. And it is my desire this evening that we spend a good portion of time in prayer before the Lord. And we have in this 18th chapter, in verses 1 to 17, two parables, and if you like, one visual parable that the Lord uses an example that was taking a place round about him at that very time to illustrate certain truths to the people that were there. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ often used the medium of parables, these earthly illustrations, to drive home spiritual truths. And here we have, particularly in the first two parables in this 18th chapter, the Lord dealing with the subject of prayer and of our coming to our Heavenly Father. And in the first parable, in verses 1 through to 8, we have this parable of the widow that comes to this unjust judge with her request. And she comes time and time again. And eventually he submits to her, not because he regards her case, not because he has any thoughts of upholding law and justice, but because he didn't want her to continually come to him with the same petition and the same request. And so we read concerning this man, that he was a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And what an unsuitable and perilous position this man was in, this position. For the people to be governed and to be ruled by such an individual was a very fearful thing. Here was a man who didn't fear God, and he didn't fear men, didn't regard men. And so what desperate days in which this poor widow lived, that there were such rulers ruling at that time. And here was a lady who was being treated harshly. She would say in verse 3, avenge me of mine adversary. We're not told what was happening. We don't know the details and the circumstance. But we see that here was a widow. And back in these days, widows were vulnerable people, as they are today in many societies and in many cultures. And we have in the Word of God very clear instruction for the church and for the children of Israel in the Old Testament for the care of and the provision of widows. And here was a widow that didn't have a husband. Her husband has obviously died, and she has nobody to plead on her behalf, nobody to stand for her. And so she comes to this judge that ought to, out of duty, out of an adherence to the law in the land, have upheld her complaint and acted on her behalf. He should have come and acted as that advocate, somebody that was unable to help themselves, somebody else coming to stand in the place. And so this unscrupulous judge, unfitted for the task, gives in to her not because of any kind of reason or rationale or the way in which she has put over her case so that he feels sorry for her. Neither does he come under any influence or have any determination to uphold the law, neither any kind of compassion for her, but rather selfishly, that she might leave him alone. Expedience ruled in his life. He wanted anything for an easy life, and this is why he listened eventually to her. Just as an aside, I think we often see this perhaps in society today, that we do not have those that fear God, do not uphold the law of the land, and rather they will seek to appease the popular opinion of man in his sin. But what was the spiritual lesson? What is the spiritual comparison that the Lord Jesus Christ was drawing from this parable? The Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And he spake this, and shall he find faith on the earth? And so now the Lord is now looking at his people, looking at the elect, looking at the chosen ones of God, and he is telling them how blessed they are. What a privileged position that they are in. We are not coming to an unjust judge. We are not coming to one that is unscrupulous. We're not coming to one that is out for his own ends and out for his own means. But we are coming to the God of heaven and earth, the God who is just, the God who is right in his actions, the God who bears with his people, is long-suffering and compassionate, the one that we come to as our Father. This is the one that the child of God comes to. And so we have this exhortation to be persistent in our prayers. And we have this great confidence that our God will hear, that he hears the cries of his people day and night, and that he will avenge them speedily. And when we think about these matters, we can often feel that perhaps when we pray, that we feel sometimes as if it doesn't avail anything, that perhaps the Lord hasn't heard. Well, we see here how the Lord does hear those that cry day and night unto him. And so whilst this unjust judge submitted to this widow because of her continual coming to him, yet we have a heavenly Father that loves us, cares for us, is just and will provide for us. Here he is, one that will hear and will act in according to his will and purpose. And when we think about our God, he is one that is utterly just and he is utterly fair. And so we have an encouragement to persevere in prayer, to come in faith, believing that God is able and that he has that wisdom and knowledge to know what is best for his children and to give them not necessarily what they require, not necessarily rather what they want and desire, but what they require and what is necessary for them. And so we can think about this in the area of overcoming of sin. Perhaps we have a particular sin that we battle with And it comes to us time and time again. Those besetting sins that we read of in Hebrews. We have a God who hears. Perhaps we find ourselves being accused by Satan. Those doubts coming into our mind. Those unfounded accusations that are being thrown at us. We have one in the heavens who will avenge. And we have our God who is that constant help in the spiritual warfare in which we are called to fight. The second parable that we have in verses 9 to 14 is perhaps very familiar to us. We have that parable that deals with these two men that went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And we find the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 9 is speaking this parable with a particular desire in mind. He is talking to a particular kind of people. Those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And as a result of them being righteous in their own eyes, they had a despising of others round about. And when we think about the word of God, it comes as that two-edged sword. It comes to deal with our sin. It probes. It attacks. It comes and penetrates, and it comes and convicts. And that word of God can be very sharp and unpleasant. And so when we hear the word of God read and preached, it shouldn't come with numerous anecdotes and illustrations that are intended to make the people laugh and to feel better and to go away with nothing more than just a thought for the day. But the word of God is just that. It is to come with that power and authority from heaven. And here the Lord is coming and making it very clear as to who he is targeting with this parable. Those that were self-righteous and trusted in themselves and were judgmental of others. And so we see some similarities between these two men. They both attended the place of prayer. They both seemingly had a desire to pray. And they were, by contrast though, diametrically opposed on the social and religious spectrum. The one was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. And so one was in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of society, as highly religious, one to look up to, one to admire, one to follow. The other was one who had forsaken all of the responsibilities and all of the duties pertaining to religion. Here was a man who was known for his sin, who was known for his worldly behaviour. When we think about publicans, we have another number of them in the scripture. Zacchaeus was one, Levi was another. And publicans were tax collectors, but they were more than that. They were the extortioners of the day. They were the ones that would have been involved in gangs. They would have been those that would have exacted the money out of the people, irrespective of whether the people could pay. And they would have perhaps been like what we might describe as modern day loan sharks. These kind of people. And so they were akin with those that committed violence. And they would have been involved in such actions. They would have been traitors in the eyes of society. Here they were working for a foreign government. Here they were as agents of a foreign state. And they would have renounced all family, renounced all religious ties to the nation of Israel. And so you couldn't get two different people in one place. And we see first off the Pharisee is spoken of in verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. Notice some of the language that this man uses. Firstly, how he prays thus with himself. He's only talking to himself. He's not coming before the Lord really. He is just there to bring comfort, bring exaltation, bring admiration for who he is, what he is, and what he does. Here was pride in evidence in the heart of this man. And we see how righteous and how good he is through the lists of works that he does. He describes the sins that he's not been involved in. He is not like other men, those extortioners, those unjust adulterers, or as publicans. And then he says that he fasts twice in the week and gives tithes of all that he possesses. Notice that word I that comes all the way through this. I do this, I do that. I am not like that. There is no mention of his sin, no mention of his unworthiness, no mention of his falling short, no mention of the glory of God, the holiness of God, the justice of God, no mention of humility, no idea of the prayer the Lord accepts. This is not a prayer, but a fabricated CV for those that would have been round about him of how wonderful he thought he was. And this man, after doing what he did, we read how he went away unchanged. He went away unchanged after his supposed meeting with God. What desperate depravity in the heart of this man. By contrast, we see the publican. We find in verse 13 how the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here we have somebody that doesn't want to have the gaze of others. He goes and stands away from the crowd. He stands afar off. And there he and God alone met together. No one else around. No one else to hear his prayers and his cries. He approaches with humility. He doesn't lift up his eyes. He doesn't count himself worthy to look and to behold, as it were, the face of God. But he bows his head in reverence and he comes in reverential fear. He humbles himself before God. Now, what was his prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That must be the first prayer that anyone can truly pray. We cannot pray that the Lord would provide, the Lord would help us in a particular situation until we have come the way that this publican came. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when we come in this humbling way, recognizing the greatness and the holiness of God, recognizing our unworthiness and our helplessness on our own part, recognizing that we are sinful and he is righteous, this is the way that God accepts. A couple of weeks ago, we were looking at Psalm 51 on a Lord's Day morning. And there we have the psalmist David. And what does he say concerning what he might be able to do? He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. And this man came in this fashion. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, commenting on both of these men, he says this, I tell you, this man, the publican that was, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so as we come to prayer, we must come in this fashion, recognizing our unworthiness, recognizing our weakness, coming with fear, coming humbly, coming though to a God who is abundant in mercy, a God that answers the prayer of the penitent. And then thirdly, we find in verses 15 to 17 how that these two parables are perhaps interrupted by the coming of these women with their children, these infants. And the Lord uses this picture of these children coming to him as a picture as to how we should approach God. And we find in verse 15, they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them, But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. The disciples perhaps had the best of intentions. Here was the Lord busy with adults, busy dealing with important matters, dealing with spiritual issues. And here these women come with their children for him to touch them and for him to bless them. And perhaps the disciples thought that they were doing the right thing, that the Lord was too important to be dealing with such things. And here we see a lesson concerning the disciples, how that even with their best intentions, they were there preventing access to the Saviour. And they wanted the Saviour to be left alone. And so the Lord uses this picture, this little interruption, to show how we must approach our Heavenly Father. He says, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Our relationship to God must be as a child coming to its father. We're not speaking about being childish or being juvenile or being irresponsible and those kind of things that we may portray in that childish kind of way, but a childlike spirit. And when we look at children, if they have something that is concerning them, something that is on their mind, they will come straight to their mother, they will come straight to their father, and they will pour out what's troubling them. They won't be putting it in a particularly ordered way. It may be all kinds of jumbled up kind of language. It may be all confused as to what's happening. They haven't thought it through necessarily, but they are pouring out their hearts. They are emptying themselves onto the one that they love for them to help. They are a child. They're going to the grown-up for them to help because they know that they are able. Sometimes children, they have high views of their parents. I remember when I was at school, used to have competitions, particularly at junior school, as to whose dad was the best dad. And somebody would say, well, my dad was, I don't know, cut down trees and he was so strong. And so I told them, well, my dad, he writes computer programs and he can do something to make your computer not work, and then you won't be very happy. And so you can have that kind of battle, one child with another, as to whose dad is the strongest or whose mum is the best, that kind of thing. But the child has absolute confidence in their parent. And here the Lord Jesus Christ says, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And so the Lord wants us to come. He wants us to pour out our hearts to him. He wants us to come recognizing that he is God, that he is able to do all things, and to come in that fashion. Not to hide things behind ourselves, not try and work things out ourselves. As children get older, they become much more independent. They become much more self-willed. And they don't want their parents getting involved, but the kingdom of heaven is to be received as a little child. And coming to our God in faith that he can do all things, trusting that he has all power. And sometimes when we pray, we can be very concerned with what people may be thinking as to how we are praying. We may be very concerned that we are saying the right words in the right way, and losing that heart of coming to our God in our prayers. So our prayers must be childlike, but not, as it were, immature or childish. And so in these parables, we have that persistence demonstrated, that penitence that is described, and then that childlike approach in verses 15 to 17. And the God that we come before is our Heavenly Father. He is the one that is in the heavens. He reigns. He has the power and the authority. But he is to be approached as a child comes to its father. How blessed we are, the children of God, to call the God of heaven and earth our heavenly Father. Well, may the Lord help us as we pray, and may our prayers be acceptable in his sight.